Hello. Welcome to Options Talk with OIC. I'm Joe Burgoyne, Director of Retail Marketing for the Options Industry Council, and I'll be your host for this podcast series. OIC was created in 1992 to educate investors and their financial advisors about the benefits and risks of exchange-traded equity options. We offer a variety of resources to those interested in learning more about options, including live seminars, webcasts, and podcasts. Here are a couple ways to stay in touch. You can become a fan of OIC on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at options_EDU, and join our group OIC on LinkedIn. As an investor, if you have yet to find yourself in a bad position, well, as the saying goes, just keep living. Today, we're going to go through some examples of worst-case scenarios in trading and how you, as an investor, can avoid some of the pitfalls that will eventually come your way. But before we get started, let me state that options involve risk and are not suitable for all investors. You should not enter into an options transaction until you have read and understood the risk disclosure document, characteristics, and risks of standardized options. This brochure is available by visiting www.optionseducation.org or by calling 1-888-OPTIONS. To keep things simple, commissions, fees, margin interest, and taxes have not been included in the examples used in this podcast. These costs will impact the outcome of all stock and options transactions and must be considered prior to entering into any transactions. Consult your tax advisor about any potential tax consequences. None of the information presented in this podcast should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell a security or to provide investment advice. So let's get this conversation started about worst-case scenarios. We've got Barry Nobel, Vice President at NASDAQ OMX Philex. Barry, thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be back on the show again, Joe. You know, I was listening to your options disclosure, and when you said at the beginning that some of the pitfalls that will eventually come your way, you couldn't have been any more concise.
Well, unfortunately, that is true, Barry.
It is true. It's going to happen to everyone sometime in their investing career.
And without a doubt. Now, tell us a little bit about your background in the options industry.
Thanks, Joe. What I do is I work for the NASDAQ options markets. I started off as an options market maker. I joined the exchange some time ago. I'm currently working with the senior management group at the NASDAQ options markets. We focus on developing our options businesses. We're responsible for getting and setting strategy. We're responsible for defining rules, setting fees, and developing trading technology for both NASDAQ options markets and NASDAQ options Philex, the NASDAQ options markets.
You're a busy guy. I really appreciate you being here today. Let's start by outlining a situation where an investor may find themselves in a worst-case scenario.
Okay. First, I'd like to start by saying worst and best-case scenarios must always come as a surprise and are never planned. The most important point is they require proactive action on the part of investors. As with most, if not all, option trades, they need to be actively managed. And when this happens, it's never a time to sit, wait, and hope for the correction, the position to correct itself.
So what should an investor do first when they find themselves in a situation like this?
First, the investor must determine what their objective is. They may want to maintain the position, an expectation their original prediction will result. The investor may want to reduce their exposure and loss from the position. The investor may realize they were wrong and completely get out of the position or completely hedge the position, avoiding any and all additional risk and financial loss. Even if the investor decides to do nothing, this is an action. Sometimes the decision requires no action, but the most important point is the investor makes a determination to take no action and watch and manage the position closely. In other words, deciding to do nothing is an action, and this is what makes actively investing your options different from being a passive investor.
And so that gets back to having an objective.
Yes. In our first example, an investor may anticipate a very volatile market and decide to purchase a straddle to profit from the volatility. Do we have to explain to the viewers or the listeners, I'm sorry, what a straddle is, Joe?
Go ahead, real quick.
I was hoping you were going to do that.
Well, real quick, straddle. Long a put, long a call.
Long a put, long a call. Hope there's volatility and the price of the put and the call are both going to go up.
There you go.
So when you purchase a straddle, the market instead trades in a very narrow range with little volatility, impacting the value of the straddle, having the calls and puts both go down. Once the market begins to trade in a narrow range, the investor must make the determination about what their next step is.
So what type of approach would an investor want to take when something like this happens? What are the choices?
Well, we look at three different actions we just mentioned. No action, limit loss, and limit all losses. Depending on what the objective is, we must tactically trade to follow the strategy we determined to be correct. This may sound very cut and dry with no emotion. However, I want to assure you that trade execution is very tactical and has little, if any, emotion.
So, essentially, we're talking about an exit strategy here.
Exactly. Once the strategy has been determined, it's up to the investor to carry out the strategy with determination to manage the risk of the investment. Before you begin to manage risk and reduce loss, I suggest taking a deep breath. Joe, I suggest you take a deep breath.
Okay. Always a good idea, Barr.
It's paramount to see how you can trade to reduce the risk while minimizing loss. If you are short calls, it may be cheaper to purchase puts in stock, offsetting further loss. If you're long a straddle, it may be better to sell other options to offset loss of the options you own. The beauty of options is that they can be used in a variety of ways, and there are many ways to offset a loss in an investment or trading position.
That's very good advice, Barry. Now, what would an investor need to think about in order to avoid some of these pitfalls that are presented in a situation like this?
An investor needs to think about, at what point should you consider cutting losses or adjusting the position? When I look at any investment opportunity, I usually think of ways I can incur a loss. This helps me look at what can negatively impact the position. If I believe a black swan event can take place, I want to assure the position will not cause unrepeatable financial harm. If position is working against you and the original investment decision doesn't look good, it's time to reevaluate. It's usually a good time to take some of the position off.
That makes sense.
How many times have we heard the first loss is the best loss?
Often.
Right. To manage the position and avoid the worst case scenario, it may be prudent to take off some or possibly half of the position. I assure you, we're all thinking by taking the position off, we'll fail to profit because the position just may turn around as soon as we reduce the position.
Sounds like hope.
In truth, when you take some of the position off, it allows us to see what is happening in a clear way to see and evaluate the position objectively. If you still like the position, there is no rule saying you can't reestablish the position to its original size. The simple strategy may keep many investors out of harm's way and avoid the worst-case scenario we speak of.
All good information. Really, really good advice, Barry. Now, do you have another example of worst-case scenario that our listeners can learn from?
Yes. Let's say we have an investor who is anticipating that a particular XYZ stock is going up. Our investor then buys at the money $19 vertical call spread for $3.50. 2 weeks until expiration of the spread, the stock begins to trade lower. Now the investor has some decision to make.
Okay, so what should an investor do and what can others do when they find themselves in a position like this?
Well, if you believe the stock or underlying is going up and want to take advantage of the price move up, you need to purchase the amount of spreads that you're comfortable with. If the spread is $3.50, don't buy more spreads than you're comfortable to hold in your position. Remember, you can lose the total premium, so don't be a knucklehead and think you're going to become wealthy doing just one trade. This is an investment, and it has to be seen as an investment. In simple terms, don't overleverage, and it's important to trade to your comfort level and not above it.
So very true. I'm sure a lot of these worst-case scenarios come from trading above your comfort level or not understanding the risk. And then an investor finds themselves in a position that they don't expect or understand.
Joe, I can go back and we can talk about this, and I can ask you, because you're here, have you ever traded above your comfort level and had a good outcome?
I don't know that I'll say never, but certainly rarely.
Rarely.
Yep.
That's right.
Agreed.
Sometimes you're rewarded, but not usually.
Agreed.
So I think that we can both agree, and I think that most people that have traded or invested for a living like to stay within the comfort level. It allows you to not do irrational things.
True.
For those of you that have never traded before, I suggest try one contract or trade one contract and see what happens.
Would you say that again? I think that is so darn important because it's a way for the investors to feel the emotions that you know, that are there when you get into investing.
I think that, you know, I go around the country and I talk to people and I will talk to my friends. They want to know how they can increase their income using, you know, what do they have? Do I have a tip? This is my tip. Listen carefully. You can read books. You can read books about investing. You can come to these seminars. Until you trade a contract, I say try and trade a contract or buy a contract and see what happens.
Excellent. Continue, please.
You'll immediately understand what is happening around you.
Yep.
If you're looking at a loss, think how you can avoid taking a further loss by selling another option or limiting your loss. It's a slow process, and this process will take time. The chances of becoming rich doing one or a dozen trades is highly remote. I'm speaking of an investment strategy and using options as part of the overall strategy to increase your profit on an existing portfolio. Options can assist you if you hold stock in your portfolio and the unexpected occurs. Options can be used to repair your position, and with the Options Industry Council, teach a course on this, and it's called Stock Repair.
That's right, Barr. And you can find out more about Stock Repair at our website, www.optionseducation.org.
I'd like to also add that options are used to manage risk and increase the return on your investment. The important point here is for our listeners is that options are used to manage risk.
Okay. I think we got time maybe for one more story. Without getting too specific or naming names, can you share with us a real-life story about an investor in what could be seen as a worst-case scenario and maybe how it ended?
Yes, I'd love to discuss specific names and scenarios that have occurred in the options, in trading options over these couple of years. But I know that the options police will break into the studio.
They sure will. I think they're actually outside the door waiting for you.
I think we can hear them clawing. It's important to understand that I can't give you specific investment advice, but I can discuss options education. For specific advice, please contact your financial advisor, the options strategy desk at your online broker, and they can walk you through the options strategy. You can also call 888-OPTIONS, and those people at the options help desk will be there to help you.
Absolutely, 5 days a week.
Now that the compliance people have tuned out, here's my story. There was a technology company that reported earnings after the market closed. The company beat the earnings and beat the analyst forecasts. The stock of this company dropped over $10 on the next day's opening, and the investing public was shocked. This resulted in an overall market drop, feeding into the drop of the company's shares.
Not a lot of happy people, I'm sure.
Well, the reason I'm telling you this story is because I had dinner that night of the earnings announcement with a friend who works in the financial industry. He began to think about his investment in the shares of the company and began to feel uneasy about his investment. The afternoon of the earnings announcement, he sold half of his shares in the company. I asked him at dinner how he felt, and he said he felt relieved. I asked him if he wanted to sell the other shares, and he said he wanted to maintain his position and sold just enough to relax. I thought it was amazing how he manages his risk. He keeps his position to a size when news is scheduled to be released so that he can relax and he can sleep. This keeps investors from involvement in worst-case scenarios.
That's one great example of how to handle a potential sticky situation.
Joe, like you, I have traded for many years, and I'm sure we both have lots of stories that the audience may find thrilling and interesting. Like any trader, I love sharing these stories, so I'll leave you with one more.
Okay, go for it, Barr.
While trading on the floor, we were trading a takeover stock. One of the newer traders began to sell options in the stock, believing that they can only appreciate to a certain amount. He sold these positions with gusto, and they increased in price, costing him theoretical loss. Before the deal was over, the options returned to the price he believed they were worth, and he made a small fortune. He felt smart, wealthy, and most of all, wise. Well, shortly after that, another trading opportunity occurred, and we found ourselves in the same trading crowd. He began to sell option spreads and did this with abandon. The option spreads began to increase in price until he found himself out of money. His father came to his rescue and funded his account, allowing him to hold the position. His wife called and asked if I can possibly discuss the position and reason with him.
Oh, not a good thing when the spouse gets involved.
It was horrible. It was like an options intervention.
Ay, ay, ay.
I felt like I was really caught in between a rock and a hard place. Well, he continued to sell spreads and continued to take losses. He felt all this would work out as it did last time. Well, the day of reckoning came, and he lost his money. Now, when he told his wife what happened, he lost her confidence, and then he lost her. Sometime during that day, he lost his wallet and had no money for dinner. He was a good friend of mine, so we went out to dinner, and then we went to a basketball game. Needless to say, I cheated. He never came back from the loss he incurred on the floor trading this takeover. He never left enough money and capital to trade another day. The worst-case scenario stopped him in his tracks. Some of the crowd had the same position he had, but managed their risk, allowing them to continue to trade and manage their positions.
Geez, that's about as bad as it gets. But certainly, there are lessons to be learned from that poor guy's experience. And of course, he's not alone.
You know something, just telling you the story brings back the fear that I felt at that time. I would say to our listeners that to avoid the worst case scenario, it's important to manage the risk of the position and the overall investment. Always manage your risks so you can come back and trade another day.
Amen, Barry. Well, I've really enjoyed this segment, but unfortunately, we're out of time. Thanks again for being on the show. I'm sure our listeners got a lot out of what they heard today. Barry conducts seminars for OIC, so if you want to hear more from him, be sure to check him out, coming to a town near you. If you have any options-related questions, check out our website at www.optionseducation.org or call our help desk at 1-888-OPTIONS. We have a wealth of information available through our various resources and tools. We'd love to hear from you also about how we are doing, so please email us at options@theocc.com. And don't forget the social links we provided at the beginning of our show. You can join us at LinkedIn, become a fan on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening, and remember, a little options education goes a long way.